All right, ladies and gentlemen, I am so honored to have the opportunity to speak with Gary Knight. And I want to thank one of our DJs, Roy Oram, for putting us in touch. And we got Roy through Mike D'Amore, so it's been, yeah, Mike D'Amore. And Carol, will you keep him in line for me, please? All right, yeah, we love Roy. How are you tonight?
We're doing fine. It's really, I've been anticipating giving a little bit of a history about my favorite guys, my Delmonicos.
I'm telling you, we are so excited. I knew you, your group, I swear, 1960. What fantastic music. I think my favorite was The World's Biggest Fool. I know it was a guy considering himself the world's biggest fool, but many times I was that fool. I love that song.
I mean, we've all had our foot in the same bucket.
We can relate to it, right?
Yes, we can.
Well,
yeah, that's for sure.
Tell us a little bit about the group and how you've met one another and how you formed.
Well, I was introduced by a guy that I grew up with. He lived in my neighborhood, and he knew these guys. He was trying to promote them. He was like acting as an agent / manager.
How old was he? about the same age?
Oh, yeah, he was. He's a guy that was well-known to me. As a matter of fact, he taught me how to play the guitar, so I only play that for myself. Wouldn't go into a concert for it. But he introduced me. He says, you want to go down and meet some guys? He says, they need a bass. And I says, okay, I'm some for that. So got down, and he introduced me to him, and as soon as I started talking, they says, oh, you are our bass for the rest of our lives. I says, okay. I says, let's get it going. So we started out basically by singing under a streetlight in New York City, 115th Street and 2nd Avenue to be exact.
Oh, wow. East Harlem, right?
We would be singing under the streetlight, and people were throwing all kinds of stuff at us, you know, empty beer cans, et cetera, because people didn't want to be bothered with noise in their neighborhood, I guess.
I find that hard to believe. I'd be in heaven if you were singing under my streetlight.
Yeah, right. So, anyway, we bypassed that, and we got on, and we became more known, probably, for our a cappella work, even though we recorded, but the recordings never went anywhere, because as we were pushing The World's Biggest Fool in 1964,
right,
we were all over the place trying to promote this record. That we were on different shows and we did different venues, etc., all over the metropolitan area. And we got ranked in Billboard magazine as one of the top 10. They said, watch out for this group, it's going to the top. So what happened in January of 1964, they unloaded some blokes on us by the name of Beatles.
And,
it was all over. This music just died a sudden death. But fortunately, there are people around, and there are people like myself that keep promoting this stuff and try to get out and do it as much as possible, because it's really going to be probably an unknown kind of a thing unless there's a younger generation that want to take it over.
Well, let's hope.
It's going to be dead and buried probably in about 20 years. So we make the best of it while we have it, and hopefully it'll catch on.
So World's Biggest Fool was 1964. I remember that. That did go up. That made it as a hit as far as I was concerned. I grew up in Bethlehem outside of Philadelphia in Pennsylvania, and that was a popular song.
Yeah, well, we probably made $1.43 a piece, so it never made a lot of money. But we thought it was a great tune. It was written by Jimmy Crane, who was in Rhode Island, which is where we recorded at his studios. He wrote Hurt in Europe.
Oh, my word. Are you serious?
And then the Manhattans brought it back, and they did a great job on it also.
That was a fantastic song. So
certainly was.
You had, did anybody in your group write?
No. No. They couldn't spell. That's why they couldn't write.
And you played guitar. What did the other guys do? Anybody do?
No, they all, there was, two of the guys worked for the,
and amazing.
Brent in B.C. And he did, if you remember Cousin Brucey.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he did a few favors for Cousin Brucey. It got him out of a lot of trouble in NBC. And Cousin Brucey never responded in kind when we were trying to find our way up. And he was, you know, he had a lot of contacts. But, you know, that's the way life goes. But
Joe was amazing. He really had a beautiful voice.
He had a dynamic voice. I miss him badly.
How long has he been gone?
He's gone now, I guess, 4 years. Maybe 5 years.
And then what about Victor Rodriguez?
Victor, he worked at various jobs in and out of different places, and he didn't stay with us because he wanted to do something on his own, and so he eventually left us and he went with a group called the Cameos, and I think that was his last venue.
Okay.
Nick DeBona had a car. He was working in the car business.
Second tenor, Nick DeBona, yeah.
Yes.
And John Martin.
Johnny Martin worked also for the TV company.
Wow.
It was Channel 5, and I'm trying to think of what the call letters are now because it's been so long.
I know how that is. I can't remember things from yesterday, so.
Really? That's very good.
Although, you want to know something funny? I live in Charlotte, North Carolina, and I'm from the Philadelphia area, and the TV channels were 3, 6, and 10. And to this day, I'm down here 20 years, and I still call ABC, NBC, and CBS. It's 3, 6, and 10. I can't do the numbers that are down here.
It's funny. I grew up with that, too. There was only, like, 7 channels when I first started watching TV.
Okay, now Roy said he thinks the call letters are WNEW. Was that correct?
That absolutely. That's
there you
fun.
Go, Roy. He's already helping me out. Fantastic.
Great, great memory. That's super.
He's amazing. Okay, now let me ask you a few questions about your background. When you were a kid and you started out in music, did your parents support it?
Well, here's the story on that. My grandmother played 7 instruments, and she had an upright piano in the living room. And then when I was about 5 or 6 years old, she stuck me up on the piano, had me sit on the piano and said, sing anything, sing three blind mice, you know, sing anything. So she'd play the piano to whatever I sang, and that's what really basically got me going.
Aw, grandparents.
She played 7 instruments. My mother played a piano, and my mother had 4 brothers that sang barbershop. So, where I learned harmony, that was my introduction to it.
It was in your DNA. Let's face it.
Oh, it was, yes, absolutely.
There's no doubt.
It was there. I was subjected to it every time I turned around. So
I'm sure the family was always singing.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, it kept me out of trouble. So that was a nice thing about music.
I agree, and there's nothing. Nothing more beautiful.
Nothing like it.
Nothing in the world. Did you sing in the chorus in school and things like that?
No, but when I got out of high school, I sang with a guy. I met up with some guys that were. I'm 6'4".
Wow.
We had one guy that was 6'5", and the rest of us were all 6'4". So we decided to call ourselves the Skyscrapers because of New York City. Okay.
I love that.
We did some small dumb things, I guess. sang for somebody's parents at their birthday party or whatever it was.
Hey, that's cool.
Never went anywhere. Yeah, but that was my first singing with a group, and then the Delmonico's came along, and then the rest was somewhat history, I guess.
Did you love it? I mean, when was the first time you realized that you were a star? I mean, that you had made it? Because you did. You had records.
Probably. But go ahead.
You had records, and you know, you were out doing shows. You were at the Peppermint Lounge. And
yeah, we did the Peppermint Lounge. We did the Copacabana. We did some other venues in New York City.
Radio
and
City.
The applause and the adoration that we got at that time just almost like, you know, kicked us in the butt and says, all right, you guys got to get going because, you know, voices are tremendous.
Uh-huh.
So that's how it really got started. And we were proud of what we had done.
Were your parents alive to see you at any of these venues?
What does that mean? I'm sorry.
Did your parents live long enough to see you become a success and sing?
They did. They knew about it. They were really busy. My mother was kind of sickly. She had cancer, and my father worked strange hours, so he really never got to see too much, except when we rehearsed at my house in my apartment.
And they knew. And like I said, it was in your DNA, so they probably knew from the time your grandmother sat you on that piano that you were going to make it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. My mother was proud of me. She knew what I could do, so.
Aww.
It was, naturally, parents have to be proud of their kids no matter what they do, except if they hold up a bank.
I was just going to say, I don't know if that's a fact. I'm not always that proud of my kids.
it was a great love there, so leave it at that.
You're blessed. You are very, very blessed to be able to say that. Who were your favorite singers back when you were a teenager?
Well, when I was a teenager, it was probably Frank Sinatra,
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. He's
79 years. I'm 79 years of age, so I've got, I've got a lot of history under my belt.
The big 8-0 is right on its way. And you're out there doing your thing and singing, and that's amazing.
I'm still doing it, yes. We have a group down here. I sing with Uptown Express. They've been here in Southwest Florida for 35 years.
Wow.
And we're the only live band. Most of the groups down here are all using tracks. So we just, we're like a cut above.
It's so nice to have a live band. I think that makes a huge difference. I really do.
It sure does.
That is just, how neat. So Frank Sinatra and who else? There's any doo-wop groups?
Probably going back that far, 1951, you had the guys that sang 60 Minute Man, which everybody asked me to do now.
Oh, yeah. Can't do 60 no more? That's probably the one
that was their follow-up.
Yeah.
Absolutely right.
That's the one you're singing.
It was because I'm talking to you live, I'm having trouble remembering who it was now.
Oh, listen. I understand. Everyone in the audience understands also. We're all around the same ages, so don't worry about it. What do you think?
I've decided that I'm not going to have any more birthdays. I'm going to stay right where I am.
Oh, you're going to be like Steve here on Remember Then Radio. He celebrates the anniversary of his 19th birthday every year.
That's the yay.
That was the Dominoes that do 60 Minute. And
Billy Ward and the Dominoes,
yes,
exactly.
Yes. Oh, I love them.
Thank you for reminding me.
They are
great,
amazing.
Big group. That was 1951 now. I mean, this is before the advent of when it kicked in, like around 55, when all the groups came to four.
Did you guys go on the road? I mean, like on bus tours or anything like that?
No, we did a lot of traveling. We did the metropolitan area. We did Connecticut. We did Philadelphia. We did Long Island, et cetera, which is, New York, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But there were a couple of occasions where we had some people that heard us that, for instance, we had a guy that flew us down to Atlanta who was celebrating his 50th anniversary.
Wow.
And he wanted to hear us. And put us up in the finest suite and treated us royally. So we had a lot of fun with that. But there was just too many things to mention, to remember, actually, to be more precise.
Mm-hmm.
We had a dynamite time in New York area. We really did. Made a lot of friends, did a lot of different venues, did a lot of parties, a whole host of things.
You were so blessed to be born in that area. I mean, imagine if you were born in Iowa or something.
Cowboy songs would have been my venue, right?
I would have been with Roy Rogers.
Yeah, that's right. Happy trails to you.
Oh, yeah. Hey, you're right on... That sounds good, really. You maybe ought to record that for me.
Yeah, that's right.
Who was
I like a little bit like Mr. Ed, do you? So... tonight.
I love Mr. Ed. Another good show. Who was the most exciting person you ever met during your years?
Who was the what?
Most exciting person you ever met.
God. That'll take me some time to think about.
Well, take your time. How about the most exciting day of your life?
The most exciting day of my life was probably when my children were born.
That's usually what everybody says, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Blessed.
Very. And your biggest audience?
Biggest audience was probably the Radio City Music Hall.
Oh, that was huge. I watched that video.
Yeah, we did it in 1989 and 1990.
Was that the Chantels that were before you?
The Chantels, yes.
That's what I thought.
We backed them up. We backed up, here I am again for a loss for who that was, Smith, Arlene Smith.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. And that girl's, there's one in a million. She's just amazing.
Yes, her backup group didn't show up, and they came into our dressing room and said, "Do you guys know any of our tunes?" We said, "Well, absolutely, we do."
Oh yeah.
Could you back us up? And that was us standing in the background at Radio City Music Hall. It was singing behind her.
That show was amazing.
Her girls didn't show up.
You have to remember that.
Oh, absolutely! Wow. That was dynamite. There were 7,000 people in the audience.
And you've done Ronnie I shows, haven't you? I'm thinking I remember seeing a Ronnie I show that you were in.
We did a lot of Ronnie I. That
I
was
thought
UGHK.
So. In Trevo's.
Trevo's, yes, we did one out there.
Mm-hmm. And then I saw you there.
Oh, you were there in person?
Yeah. I went to all the Ronnie I shows I could get to.
Are you going to ask me to send you an autograph now, aren't you?
Now, you know I already asked you to do me a promo, remember?
That's correct.
That's even better than an autograph, your actual voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think.
Don't mind doing that. I've done a few of that down here. I've done some radio shows down here. I sing the national anthem for the Major League Baseball that are in the area for spring training.
We were at the Phillies spring training. Naturally, you know I'm a Phillies fan. And I also like the Yankees.
Yeah, well, there's nothing wrong with that. You have a whole host of teams that are down here right now in the spring training, and I've had the opportunity to do, so far this spring, probably about 3 or 4 times the national anthem.
Oh, you must be so proud. See, that's something I'd be really proud of that.
Yeah.
Well, how about if
I am too.
A break and we listen to, let's see, what should we listen to? How about The World's Biggest Fool? We'll start off with that one. And let the audience hear how wonderful you guys were.
That's the one that we were hoping was going to put us over the top.
It did with me. Although I have to tell you, your Stardust and your Embraceable, you are beautiful.
Oh, thank you very much.
Okay, here we go. World's
I love everything we did.
That's neat. That's wonderful. Here we go. World's Biggest Fool. Right. Everybody loved it. Great song. And, you know, one thing I noticed is you've got the moves with that. Did you guys choreograph when you went on stage? Who was in charge of that? Because you definitely have the moves.
No, we didn't make too many moves because one of the guys just didn't have that
you did.
Temperament. I did. I wanted to move constantly.
Uh-huh, and you did.
When we first started out, we started singing different venues. And Joe, my lead singer, and Vic Rodriguez, they used to jump off the stage into a split.
Oh, geez. You're like Jackie Wilson?
Just like Jackie Wilson. And the crowd used to go crazy. You said, how the hell do you do that without hurting yourself? Well, they were capable of doing it. That's why they did. But,
right.
I mean, I wouldn't have tried it. I just...
Not at 6 foot.
My long, skinny legs. I wouldn't try that. Not in a million years. They helped to put the show over when they did things like that. So, but we never got into choreography because our basic premise of doing songs were we used to go into the archives and try to find the ones that we could really put over well.
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't, you know, the popcorn stuff that I like to refer to as.
We never got into that. You did a fantastic job on that.
Never got into popcorn.
Good. I'm glad because that was never my favorite music.
Yeah, exactly.
But you guys really did a great job on Last Night I Dreamed. Do you remember what year you put that out?
Pardon? You're cutting out every now and then, Barb.
Okay. Do you remember what year you first sang that, Last Night I Dreamed?
Probably around... just pushing the buttons here. Probably somewhere around 83, 84.
Fantastic version. It's as good as the original.
Yeah, everybody always remarked about how well we did that.
Uh-huh.
I still love it till today. I love everything we did. I hear Joey's voice when I'm listening to the oldies again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm playing stuff off our album. You know, I get melancholy, and I guess, you know, anybody would. But some of the stuff we did, I get chills up and down my back. Still, I mean,
it was such
my
a
age,
blessing,
but I'm not
such
supposed
a
to have chills. I guess.
You know how many other guys wish they could have done what you did?
Oh, there was tons.
Tons and tons and tons. I mean, it's just crazy.
Yeah.
That was the thing to do back in our day. And it's really sad that the kids today are not into it and haven't experienced it and don't know. I mean, they're sitting at home playing video games. Where would you rather be?
Actually,
I mean, they're missing so much. It's a shame we don't know how to plug them in.
It's a shame that it's a hard thing to teach also.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even if you could get them plugged in. Group or harmony in voices are just, there are special people that know how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'm not patting myself on the back because I can, but there are so many groups out there that know how to do that, and they put it across very well. And if you could teach that to this younger generation, it would just keep them out of trouble, keep them off the streets.
And put such joy.
I've been saying that for years.
Yep. Because it's a happy memory, and it's happy times, and it's...
Exactly.
Even when you're singing the sad songs.
Go ahead.
Even when you're singing the sad songs, it feels good. You still feel
sure.
like you're part of something and you're united with everyone else. And
that's right.
It's a wonderful feeling.
We had we were doing a gig, and don't ask me, I can't remember exactly where, but we're up on a stage, and we were noted for a cappella.
Mm-hmm.
And we had two young guys who were probably somewhere around 18, 19 years of age. They walked up to the stage while we were... they stood right in front of us on the stage. We did our song. We got done singing. And they said, where's the band? So we said, there is no band. It's all voices. And they couldn't believe that we had that kind of a sound that would... It was like filling in for all the instruments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had the first tenor, which goes extremely high. Myself, who kept it on the bottom, and we could be the bass, which was just, you know, naturally the bass.
Right, right.
But they insisted on seeing where we were hiding the band.
That's hysterical.
So it took us about 20 minutes to prove to them that it was all done with voices. But there again, a younger crowd, you have to introduce it to them. You got to have them, they have to have the heart to do something like this.
You know, Ramon, who is from Las Vegas, he's in the audience, and he is a young man that sings and does doo-wop. And he just said his comment when we discussed that was, not all, but some children respond to our music. It could be no children if we don't plant the seed early. And that's true. I wish I knew how we could do it, because I'd love to share this with them. And that's the reason we do this radio station, because we want to keep the music alive and keep it going. And that's what you're doing. You're still out on the road keeping the music alive. And do you ever have any young people at your venues?
Very few.
That's what I thought.
I kind of thought you were going to ask that question.
Yep.
We have very, very few young people. If there are some young people there, they're usually somebody who's attending the function and brings their kids, but the kids are just not interested. You know, you can read it in their body language.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I'm sorry to hear that, because they're missing out on some of the most wonderful feelings in the world.
Absolutely.
I mean, when I'm down and out and I put this music on, I'm the happiest girl in the world.
Yeah, isn't that something? That's great. You just keep doing what you're doing, hon. Much appreciated.
Well, you know, I ask everybody this question. I know you love all your music, but is there any particular song that after you recorded it, you said, man, I really nailed this?
all of them. I have to say all of them, because Joe did such a phenomenal job in doing the leads, that every song that we did, we came away and say, oh man, that was nailed. And then,
oh, wow.
The best way I can put it to you,
he was actually
the Delmonico's. I mean, there was nobody around that had a voice like his.
And you guys got along after all those years that you sang together.
Yep.
Because usually groups have a lot of underlying tensions and problems and issues. It's amazing how many years you were together.
Want me to tell you something?
Sure.
In all the years, almost 50 years we were together,
mm-hmm.
we never, never, ever had an argument.
Oh, my gosh. That's so hard.
I believe you,
but that's shocking, because so many of the people say their groups fell apart because of, you know, they couldn't agree on anything, or they one wanted to
be
a star,
Yeah, exactly. A lot of it was egos.
Exactly, yeah.
So, but we never ever had a foul word for each other.
Wow. Then it must have really, really hurt when you lost them all.
Oh, yeah, it did. I've lost four of them so far.
Well, you're keeping on keeping on just for them, I'm sure.
That's right. Yeah, I won't let it die as long as I'm around.
And
hard to beat a thick-headed skull, you do.
How often, and now where do you play? Tell us a little bit about where your group goes now.
Well, we do sometimes benefits, we do sometimes parties because Florida is loaded, and I can't say that I'm not part of that crowd. Being 79, I'm part of it.
Yes, you are.
Down
you
here,
are.
So, you know, so we do a lot of restaurant, comedy theaters and stuff like that.
Right.
Throughout, we run from Naples all the way up to Venice, and in the next couple of weeks, we'll be going up to around where the villages are, if you're familiar with that.
Yes, yes.
We're going up to Clearwater. We're doing some stuff around St. Petersburg. I guess we got a whole host of things coming before the snowbirds go back north.
That's amazing to me. And you're going to be 80, you're 79, and you're running around the up and down the coast like that? I admire you. I really do.
Everybody asked me, how do you do it? And I said, listen, the Lord gave me something that I love, and I just keep pushing it until he decides to take me. So, I mean, if I...
What better way to go?
If I was to die tomorrow, I would be the happiest man on the earth. I mean, I've done everything in my life I've ever wanted to do.
Oh, wow. And now let me ask you a question. Is your wife into your music? Is she real proud of you and real involved with it? Or?
Yeah, she loves it. As a matter of fact, my wife, my first wife died in 98.
I'm sorry.
And the girl that I'm married to now, she met me in 1987. Mm-hmm. We were doing Led East in Jersey, if you're familiar with that.
Oh, yeah.
And we both looked at each other. We were both married at the time.
Mm-hmm.
We just looked at each other. We had a little feelings towards each other. So
you knew.
My wife died, and my current wife Karen has divorced her husband, and we just got married. April 1st will be our first anniversary.
Oh, that's so neat. Oh,
and
I love it.
We decided to have it on April Fool's Day so we could remember it.
Young love. You got young love. How cool is that? No wonder you can keep on going.
That's right.
That'll keep you going for many a year.
Thank you, Jesus.
I love
that. We've seen each other or talked to each other off and on over the years, and we finally said, let's do it. Okay.
Oh, congratulations, and God bless the two of you. I have a huge smile on my face now.
Thank you.
Let's hear another one of your songs. Is there any particular one you'd like to hear? Uptown Express, Delmonico's, anything that you're particularly fond of?
Anything from Delmonico's would suit my fancy.
All right, well, let's hear...
You make the choice, and that'd be
let's
fine.
Do Last Night I Dreamed.
Oh, that'd be beautiful.
You guys are amazing.
Give that a shot.
Here we go.
Last night I dreamed of holding you tight. It was a
love.
Do, 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 do.
And so is love.
is, I'm afraid,
Doobie-doo.
The masquerade. So is love.
Do, do, do.
And so is love. I guess I'll have to play Pagliacci and dress up in a clown's disguise. In my eyes, for you look the same. You're a lot, yes, you're a lot the same. But my heart says no, 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 you're not the same. I'm afraid,
I'm afraid.
The
the masquerade
is over, and so is love.
All right, I'm here, but Steve's busy chit-chatting. Okay, we have Gary back. We got Gary back. Hey, Gary, I heard you talking to Steve about the fact that you backed up Willie Winfield. I'm in love with that man. So let's hear a little bit about some of the people you've backed up during your career.
We have sang with, opened for probably every big name group in the doo-wop field.
Wow, let's hear.
Leanders and the Hearts,
Philadelphia. What about Jimmy Beaumont?
The five. I'll tell you a story about the five discs.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Well, they called me at the last minute. They were doing a show up in UGHA,
mm-hmm.
and they said, "Can you fill in for us?" Well, that song that they do,
time, we're in no hurry.
Yeah, I could right now I can't, but anyway, it was five discs and it was a song that was a lot of bass work in it.
I remember.
No, and I says of course. No, it wasn't remember. I remember.
Never Let You Go.
Never Let You Go.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, that was the one. Okay. That was the one. And
great song.
I said, "Do you know it?" I says, "Yeah." I says, "I know just about every bass accent in the world, you know." So they said, "We need you right now." So I had to drive like about 45 minutes to get up to the show and went on stage with them. But like I say, we've backed everybody. Larry Chance and the Earls.
Oh, that man's a doll.
Absolutely. Johnny Maestro probably 30 times.
Wow. Oh, are you serious?
List goes on and on. I wish I could remember them off all the top of my head, but we opened for everybody.
Oh, Johnny Maestro. He's one in a million.
The Cadillacs. We sang with the Cadillacs a whole bunch of times with with our boy there. It's been a marvelous, marvelous career. If I had it to do it all over again, I would.
You know, you are the happiest man I have ever spoken to. I'm just in awe of you. I mean, you seem to be so satisfied with your life and the way it's turned out, and you don't have any regrets or any. It's amazing. It's beautiful.
Absolutely. My only regret is that we never made it to the big name.
But you did.
The only thing that I have.
You really did. I mean, you've met them all. You've done it all. You've seen them all. I mean, what more could you do?
The only thing would have been to have a million seller.
Yeah, that's
But you knew
where you were supposed to be, and you did what you were. You may have been a different person had you made it to the big time. You may have gotten a big head and not been so sweet, and this is how you're supposed to be, and this is how it was supposed to be.
Absolutely. You hit the nail on the head exactly.
You and Karen,
because
together
everybody everybody has a certain road to go down in life,
mm-hmm.
and there's a fork in that road, and if you take the wrong road, it leads to temptation and disaster and whatever else is accompanied in the life of a human.
I mean, in the fact
you go to the other way, it's strawberries and all kinds of fun things. So you don't know. You pick. You make your decisions spontaneously.
Yes.
If somebody says, let's do this, and you say, no, I don't want to, it could lead to disaster. It could lead to fortune and fame. Who knows?
Well, you started out on the right path.
I've done everything I've wanted to do in life, and I have no regrets.
And you're out there, keep on keeping it on. And the fact that you were loved by your mother and that you were sitting on your grandmother's piano, and it's all so beautiful, and it all turned out the way it was supposed to. It's just a beautiful story.
I think so. There is no value on what you have encountered in life. Like I said before, I've got 1,500 friends that I've got phone numbers here that mm-hmm. I've been forever. If there was any way that I title my life, I would just say fortunate.
Very,
very, very fortunate.
I
stepped in the right mud and didn't bother smelling it. You know what I mean?
Do you have a puppy dog?
I don't. I could probably, but we're on a radio show, so I can't use any of the verbiage.
It's okay.
So we'll use mud as the.
Now let me ask you a question. Do you have an internet page or anything so that people can follow you or know where you guys are planning to be? Or
well, here's what happened. We've been wrecked with a bit of bad news over the last couple of months. We lost our guitar.
Mm.
Our guitar player had a double stroke. He can't talk, and he's laid up pretty much badly. So we lost two of our singers, so we've replaced our singers. The guy, our guitarist, who had the website, has lost all the information on it. So we're in the process of trying to set up a new website. But I don't know exactly if I was to tell somebody in your audience right now.
Mm-hmm. You could come on to, we could put you in class reunion, and when you're going to have a gig, you can announce it on our Facebook page. You can just,
well, why don't we do that? Then
let's do that.
Just as good.
That would be fantastic. And that way, there's a lot of people in Florida that would love to come out and see you.
So
I'm going to give you, Steve, after you say goodbye to the audience, and we're going to put on a couple more of your songs, and you and Steve can talk about how you can work this out.
Good.
We want to thank
Barbara,
you.
It was great talking to you tonight.
Such a pleasure. I can't thank you enough. And thanks, Roy and Carol, because they hooked us up with you. And it's, like I said, I'm smiling from ear to ear. Thank you so very much.
You're quite welcome. Let's
and
do it again.
Here you go. Here's Steve.
Okay.
Good.
All right. Steve is busy working with Gary, and so I get to take over his show for a few minutes. All right. We're going to hear the Delmonico's doing Stardust.
And now, purple dust of twilight time steals across the meadows of my heart.
Boom, 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 boom.
High up in the sky, the little stars climb. Always reminding me that we're apart. You wander down a lane and far, far away. Leaving me a song that will not die.
Boom, 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 boom.
Love is now the stardust of yesterday. The memories of the years gone by.
Gone by.
Sometimes I wonder why I spend the lonely nights, oh, dreaming of a song. The melody haunts my reverie. And once again, I'm here with you when our love was new. And each kiss an inspiration.
Is in the stardust of a song.
Oh, beside a garden wall, when stars were bright, oh, you were in my arms. The nightingale tells his fairy tale of paradise where roses bloom. Though I dream in vain, yes, in my heart it will remain my stardust melody, a memory of love.
All right. Everybody knows that I love Stardust and Embraceable You. And Steve's still chatting, so how about if we hear Embraceable You?
Embrace me. Embrace me.
Embrace me, my sweet embraceable you. Embrace me, my irreplaceable you. The gypsy in me. I love all the many, many charms about you. Oh, and above all, I want my own.
embrace me, my sweet embrace.
My sweet embrace for you.
Embrace me, my
okay, I was talking without the mic because I was disturbed. Remember Then Radio is one of the best radio stations on the internet as far as I'm concerned, especially with all the great DJs we have out there. So how about if we hear Uptown Express doing Remember Then?
Remember Then with Uptown Express. I want to personally thank Gary Knight for spending the time with us. Great stories. What a voice. What a voice. Just fantastic. And again, the group, the Delmonicos, grew up with them in New York, and well, you heard them, and you know, if you hadn't heard them before, you could see that they were an outstanding group. And there's one more I want to put on by them, Chapel of Dreams. This was done in 1987 by the Delmonicos.
In the chapel of dreams. Through the the dark of the night. Oh, as strange as it seems, every heart finds delight in the chapel of dreams.
The Delmonico's Chapel of Dreams.